Welcome in. What's Right with Nick Wright, episode 223. A ton to do today. We are live on YouTube. Apologies that Tuesday we were not able to be live on YouTube. So we will make sure we carve out real time for your questions and comments at the end of today's show. So if you would like to right now start sending in some questions or comments, you feel free. Also, an update real quick. I have asked you guys to start, you know, subscribing to the YouTube page, liking, commenting, leaving reviews, all those things. We are now up to 146,000 subscribers. So I would love if we could get to 150,000 subscribers by round two of the NBA playoffs. That feels about right. About 6 weeks from now. So let's, yeah, it's not a huge ask, right? That's doable. Let's make that goal for by May 1st to be at 150,000 subscribers. There's no plaque or anything that goes for that. By the way, that plaque that we have, DeMonze, is it on a wall in your apartment or is it leaned up against a wall in your apartment? There's really
I thought your other guest was going to be like laid down somewhere and I was going to be able to one up with it being propped up, but yes, it's propped up. It's not hung up. But it's propped up.
Like
it's not just laying down somewhere.
It's like on your dresser, leaning against the wall. So where it's at eye level for people, so you can show it, but not quite enough to like get the hammer and nail, find
a stud,
a nail
in the wall
do all that.
I don't know. Right?
Yeah. No. I get it, by the way, I get it. You don't want to lose that security deposit. Yeah. We've all been there. All right. Here is what is not on today's show. Not on today's show. Harden playing defense on Kawhi. Somebody ask me a question in the comments on that, because I've now decided I want that in the show. Not enough to reorganize the whole thing. It's the dumbest play in NBA history, and that's a league that has employed Jordan Poole for 5 years. So we'll get to that. Best sporting event of the year for some. March Madness tips off in about 90 minutes, which means, you know, if there's ever a day for me to make massive errors or drop an F-bomb on TV, today's the day, because nobody will be watching. It's a weird thing doing a sports television show when you know nobody's watching it, but that's going to be the case. Listen, maybe people catch it on YouTube after the fact. And then what might be the biggest story in sports, so you might say, why is it not in the show? The Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter. Here is the loose facts, and I'm going to put facts in quotes. The story as is being told is Shohei Ohtani's interpreter was $4.5 million in the hole gambling. Shohei paid it off, and there is now an investigation. I'm going to go ahead and say more facts are going to come out, and I am not making any allegations with that. I'm not trying to protect anyone. I'm not trying to defame anyone. I am simply saying this: the Shohei Ohtani discussion right now feels like election night coverage when all we have is those six people that vote in Delaware or wherever, or Vermont, at midnight. And it's like, oh, 4-2, Trump's ahead. It's like, well, we could spend time analyzing that, or we could wait literally a few hours, or in this case, a few days, before we have real data. So I think we're going to get real information on the Shohei story, and rather than spend a lot of time on it when we have minimal information, I'd rather wait. So my guess is by the next time we're doing the pod, there will be real reporting on it. And I also have the ability, I'm good pals with Jeff Passan, so I'll probably hit him up this weekend and ask him to give me the dummies version of what is known and what is believed, and then we can maybe talk about it more Tuesday. But the speculation right now, to me, seems to be a bit of a fool's errand, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. DeMonze, what are we going to spend a lot of time on? Go ahead.
The Bucks and Celtics, they played last night. Dame and Tatum put on a little clinic, yep. And the Bucks were able to keep the game pretty close despite not having Giannis. So we already know a few of your thoughts on these teams in the East, but it's kind of conflicting. You've got the Bucks as your finals pick, but you have the Celtics atop of your tiers right now. What's up with that?
Yeah, So right now, the Celtics deserve the respect to say they're the best team in the league. They have a top six all-time point differential. That's meaningful to me. Like, that is, and the other teams on that all-time point differential list are some of the best teams ever. They have a universally respected, excellent starting five. They're healthy, and they have seven wins more than every other team in the league. They're going to finish like 65-17, and no other team in the league is going to get to 60 wins. So they deserve to be atop the tiers, so to speak. I can believe that while also believing Milwaukee or Denver would beat them in a series. And so to me, those are those two ideas are not in conflict, at least in my mind.
Like,
I also
a
think
postseason
Miami
type of thing.
Well, it's a little bit of that, and it's or I guess it's a lot of that. It's not that I don't think the Celtics are a good postseason team. They've made a finals. They've made four conference finals since Tatum's been there. It's more that I think the Bucks have been a work in progress all year. But if we pause and take a moment and say, what we thought of Milwaukee last year was they needed a guy just like Dame, and they added Dame. Now, the defense took a step back, but I think some of the skepticism about Milwaukee was, all right, if you add a guy like Dame, what does it do to Giannis? Well, Giannis offensively, and he didn't play last night, obviously, you could argue, is having the best season of his career. He's averaging 0.3 beneath his career high in points. He's averaging by a full half assist, his career high in assists. And he's averaging by 4 percentage points, his best shooting percentage ever. He's 31 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 62% from the field every single night. And here's the other thing that to me is noteworthy about what the Bucks have done recently, including last night, to bring it to last night. The Bucks' ability as of late to play these other good to excellent teams and to play them without Giannis and to be really good, I think is highly impressive. So they didn't have Giannis for the Clippers game, they won. They didn't have Giannis for the Suns game, they won. They didn't have Giannis last night, and that was a three-point game against a full-strength Celtics team in Boston. I actually think that, and I think Giannis missing a little bit of time here could actually be good for the Bucks in this regard. It allows Dame to really get in a pre-postseason rhythm, which Dame's been good but not great this year. Dame has not been as good as he was last year, and Dame talked about kind of the emotional toll that, you know, he got divorced, he had to move, he feels lonely. All those things are real things. Sidebar of the sidebar, DeMonze. Did you see the DeAndre Ayton quote?
No.
If you
DeAndre
didn't,
Ayton
there's
no,
nothing wrong. No. So, on himself. So, I'm going to read it to you, and then I'll tie this to the Dame stuff in a moment. So, I'm going to read you the story from Kurt Hyland on Pro Basketball Talk. It has taken DeAndre Ayton a while to adjust to Portland, both on and off the court. Back in November, he averaged 14-9, shooting 59%, solid numbers, but Ayton was passive much of the time, not the inside presence Blazers were counting on. Since the break, Ayton has averaged 24-14 on 64%. So what changed? Ayton talked about that adjustment with Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian, and this is what he wrote. Or this is what he said, quote, "My body just wasn't my body. People forget the humane difference of me adjusting to everything."
Oh, I did see that.
Just being
the mattress.
Just being,
sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Just being comfortable and waking up. Quote, I didn't have a bed for quite some time. I was on an air mattress just trying to figure things out. So I'm now going to give you two facts. Fact one, DeAndre Ayton is 25 years old. Fact two, DeAndre Ayton currently makes $32 million a year. I'm going to add a third fact. Fact three, DeAndre Ayton makes his money with his body. If you are a grown man and you are in the mid eight-figure earnings club, you know what? I'm going to lower that. If you're in the seven-figure, you know what? I'm going to lower that. If you're in the mid six-figure earnings club, if you're a grown man making more than $200,000 a year and your body is how you make your money, you're not allowed to sleep on an air mattress for more than one night, and that has to be a really disastrous scenario for it to be one night. That is that when he's like, oh my goodness, the humane part of it. Here's the adult part of it. I'm a super rich guy. This is affecting my performance at work. I need the best bed available in the Portland area delivered to my house today. And, oh, wait, you're going to charge me, triple for overnight shipping? You know what? I've got it, and it's my job to make. They pay me this to make sure things like sleeping on an air mattress are not part of, you know, the potential difficulties. So when people say the humane parts of NBA players, I guess I'm inhumane there. That quote right there, sorry, DeAndre Ayton, you're not a serious person. You're not an adult yet. I am not comfortable with you being a major part of my franchise. Now, Dame saying, I'm lonely and I'm going through a divorce. That I totally understand. Money doesn't fix that. But if you are super rich and you are having a problem that literally money fixes, let me ask you this. If DeAndre Ayton had said, well, you know, I wasn't playing well because the place I moved to, the fridge and stove were broken, so I hadn't eaten for a week. Would you say, oh, this poor guy? Or would you say, you know what, buddy, you got to figure that one out? There's options there. The air mattress is not a viable excuse. So I try to be an empathetic person, and for Dame, going through a divorce, I can only imagine. How horrifying. Moving away from your family. Those are real things that I think too often people are like, you're rich, get over it. Money doesn't help you there. It might ease some of the things, like you can see your family easier than someone who's not rich can. But so I feel for Dame in that regard. DeAndre Ayton talking about sleeping on an air mattress is, honest to God, one of the most embarrassing quotes from an athlete in years. Like, give me a break, buddy.
I didn't get that either. I also just told one of the producers of the podcast that I couldn't watch TV over the weekend by accident. But it's like similar scenarios.
The internet problem?
They're actually not similar scenario. No, not internet problem. I was just tied up, had some things. But I initially led with I wasn't able to watch TV this weekend, and that just wasn't true. So it's like I didn't understand. I didn't get why he was saying he had to sleep on an air mattress. He could have slept in a hotel next to the facility. There's a bunch of other...
Also, listen, while you and Ayton are the same age, you and Ayton do not have the same ability to fix problems with money. So, like, if your work was hampered, if when you moved to LA, it was like, man, I'm falling behind at work because I can't work from home because the internet's not set up in my house yet, that does not make you less of an adult. That is a legitimate excuse for someone that is starting off in their career. If you made if every 2 weeks, DeMonze, you got direct deposited $1.4 million in your bank account, and you told your employer, you're like, sorry, behind on emails, my hotspot got cut off, then they'd say, okay, you're not a serious person. So how does this have to do with Celtics Bucks? Oh, because I was talking about Damian Lillard's
divorce adjustment.
And here's the other thing I said about the Celtics. Tell me if you agree with me, DeMonze. This Celtics season feels a little Ravens-y. in this regard. If you don't get over the hump now, when are you going to? So, yeah. Embiid is hurt. The Bucks fired their coach. They don't, you know what I mean? The Bucks have had fits and starts.
Last year with the Celtics too? I guess now they got Porzingis. They made the extra moves.
And got Porzingis. They got Drew. You know what I mean? The last year they weren't the one seed. Milwaukee was. There were a lot of pieces to it. And so there is an element of if this Celtics team this season. I'll add one caveat. If they get to the finals and play a very competitive series against Denver and Jokic just kills them, then maybe the Celtics don't retool anything and they're just like, you know what?
Right.
We are running up against a generational player. Correct. But and you might say, well, that's what happened to the Ravens. But that isn't what – because this year's Chiefs team – didn't have the profile that this year's Nuggets team has. Nobody is watching this year's Nuggets team saying this is the worst Nuggets team in years, that there's something wrong with them. But if the Celtics fail to make the finals, or make the finals and lose to anyone but Denver, or make the finals and lose to Denver, but it's a washout, then I think they have real hard questions to answer about, are we really, really, really good, but not going to be good enough. All right, next.
All right, so Caleb had his pro day yesterday, and his future teammate Keenan Allen was in attendance. You said on your show yesterday that Caleb will fall somewhere between Troy Aikman and Terry Bradshaw. So that means about three to four Super Bowls, maybe?
Well, let me add
I like how you put him right at where Patrick Mahomes is right now, to give you a little time.
So that's not even how it happened. Wilds went through the 15 most successful number one overall pick quarterbacks. And he was like, do you think Caleb will be better than this guy? Than this guy? He asked me, would he be better than Aikman? I said yes. And the next name he said was Bradshaw. And I said no. So that, you know what I mean? That's where it was. That wasn't so much that he's necessarily winning that many Super Bowls. But it is that I think he will be a better player than Aikman. Bradshaw is, you know, kind of universally considered one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks ever. Am I going to go ahead and install Caleb there? That seems a little too bullish. But I do think Caleb is going to be great. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, with that said, how long do you think it'll be until we see Mahomes and Caleb Williams face off in a Super Bowl?
So here's the funny thing about Super Bowls. We very rarely get Marino, Montana. Now, I use that example because we did get Marino, Montana in the one Super Bowl Marino won, where it's like these are the two best quarterbacks alive, and they're in the Super Bowl. And, you know, you got Aikman, Kelly twice, but neither Aikman nor Kelly were really in the argument for the best quarterback in the league. You did get Favre Elway, but Elway was at the very, very end and was no longer MVP Elway. But it's pretty rare that you get, you know, two top three or four quarterbacks against each other in a Super Bowl. So if we, like, let's just go backwards and see. And so, yes, I do think Caleb's going to be a superstar quarterback. But, and some of that is just happenstance. Like, Brady and Manning played in the same conference forever. So they played five times in the playoffs, but they could never play in the Super Bowl because they, for the entirety of Manning's career, they were both in the AFC. So here are the Super Bowl matchups that we've had, just going backwards. Mahomes Purdy, so that's number one versus like number 19.
Two greats.
Mahomes Hurts. Now that was the MVP and the MVP runner up, but I don't know how that's going to age historically.
Right.
People are gonna be like, oh wow. Burrow Stafford, pretty good. Two guys both firmly in the top seven or eight. Brady Mahomes, obviously, a legendary matchup. Right. It didn't turn. The game ended up not being a good game, but that was, from a quarterback perspective, probably the best you could have hoped for. Mahomes, Garoppolo, no good. Brady, Goff, when Goff was at that, you know, I understand. Well, Goff wasn't struggling yet, and that one looked better in the moment than it does now, and also that was a 13-3. Brady, Foles, whatever. Brady, Matt Ryan, the year Matt Ryan won NFL MVP, that's a pretty great one, and ended up being one of the greatest Super Bowls ever. Manning, Peyton Manning, Cam Newton, but that year Peyton got benched. Like, that year Peyton was at the very, very end. So Peyton got hurt and got benched and then came back. I think he had, you're not going to believe, the year Peyton won his last Super Bowl, DeMonze, and I love this part of the, I know I've said this so many times, but I love this part of the pod, the like natural discovery from things that happened when you were in high school or earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm not being a smartass here. I'm not at all.
No,
I
seriously.
Hope I'm not,
when we
I'm
get
not
to these, we are wandering off into uncharted territory for me. Like, I'm learning new stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, the, and so Peyton's final year in Denver, he had 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, and a 68 passer rating. And they won the Super Bowl. So, like, whenever, so it's such a unique spot. Peyton's
was
second
there, was
year
running
in Denver,
game really good. Who was the, what,
no?
What
they
was
had
the
Von Miller, DeMarcus. They had one
crazy.
Of the best defenses in the league. Peyton's second year in Denver, when they made the Super Bowl and lost, he had 5,500 yards and 55 touchdowns. One of the great, maybe the greatest quarterbacking season ever. But then by the end of his third year, you could tell, oh wait, he's not the same guy. And then his final year in Denver was he got hurt. They didn't. They, Brock Osweiler took over. Peyton then took back over, and Peyton was just not the. And even in that playoff run, in that entire playoff run when they won the title, Peyton threw for 2 touchdowns and 1 pick. Just wasn't the same guy. All right, so back to what we were doing here. Brady Russell Wilson was pretty good. And Russell Wilson prime Peyton Manning was pretty good. But then you have things like Flacco Cap, Brady Eli. Big Ben Rogers is probably the best, like, Caleb Mahomes possibility, which is, you know, Rogers at that point was maybe, you know, en route to being considered maybe the best quarterback in the league alongside Brady and Manning. Big Ben was already a Super Bowl champion a couple times over. And so that's a really good one. And obviously, Breeze Peyton when it was prime Peyton. So that's just, you know, going through the last 15 years. So it is our bet. If Caleb makes a Super Bowl, and I believe he will, it's almost guaranteed that it's going to be a great Super Bowl matchup, because it's either going to be him against Mahomes, or him against Allen, or him against Lamar, or him against CJ. You know, it's going to be, or him against the Prince, or him against, it's Justin. It's going to be, it's very hard to imagine an AFC team without a great quarterback going, you know what I mean, making it to the Super Bowl in this era. But yeah, my confidence in Caleb is as high as it's been. Go
so
ahead.
Do you
what's your question?
Okay. I mean, do you think he'll be there in the next 3?
Well, 5? So here's another thing, and I know that this podcast we're kind of doing a bit of history lessons, but the quarterbacks that make Super Bowls make them early. Russ made 2 on his rookie deal. Mahomes made 2 on his rookie deal. Burrow made 1 on his rookie deal. Cam was at the end of his rookie deal. Flacco, who's not a great player, was at the end of his rookie deal. You know, ever since the new when the Eagles made it, they had Wentz on his rookie deal. He got hurt. Foles was the backup, but Wentz got him to 12-3 or whatever they were, 13-2 something. And then Jalen, obviously, on his rookie deal. Purdy was on his rookie deal. So if Caleb is the guy that I think he is, the Bears probably should make a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. if he is the guy that now Lamar's great, he hasn't made one. Josh Allen's great, he hasn't made one. But those guys have had to go through Mahomes. Their best years have all been ended by Patrick. You don't really have that so much in the NFC. Go ahead. It seems like you want to ask another question.
I honestly, these situations always confuse me. I thought of it in my mind. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it might work. It's probably really bad. But as far as when teams trade up or they trade away players to get higher in the draft, what if, like, the 49ers gave Brandon Ayuk and, like, oh, Trey Lance doesn't even play there anymore, I guess. Like, Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy, maybe, to maybe move up to the second spot or maybe take the first spot from the Bears. I get it's very likely that somebody would say no, but in the off chance that the Bears were attracted to those two, it's a money problem.
So what you're saying is – No. So let me, what you're saying is, would a team that has, because I know what you're saying, I don't know if the audience knows exactly what you're saying, would a team that feels like it has really good players but not good enough to break through, would they want to kind of reset the quarterback pay scale clock?
Because like, you know, Caleb, I mean? You get and to pay him not too much.
Exactly right. So the Niners aren't a great example because their quarterback doesn't make any money. But the example for that is would
Chargers is
if the Dallas Cowboys said to the New England Patriots, "We'll trade you Dak for the third overall pick. You get stability, a known factor at quarterback, while you try to build up the rest of your team." And we can re-sign CeeDee, re-sign Micah, try to... without DeMonte, you didn't realize it when you were saying it. This is exactly what the Niners did with Trey Lance. They had Jimmy G on a semi-expensive contract. They had been to a Super Bowl. They had been banging on the door. They weren't good enough. So instead of trading players, they traded three first-round draft picks to move up so they could start the rookie contract clock over.
Fair.
That's what they did. And so what you're describing, Bill Barnwell wrote an article 4 or 5 years ago about this exact question. And it was about the Rams with Goff, and he was ahead of his time on it. It was before they paid Goff. Because it was when Goff, the bloom was coming off the rose a bit. And the question was, would there ever be a team that drafts a quarterback, develops that quarterback, turns that quarterback into a franchise quarterback, and instead of giving him the massive extension that then makes them have to tear away pieces of their team, trades him for a top five pick so they can start the process over and always have a superstar supporting cast. You know what I mean? Like, would, and so if you, that to me is a legitimate question. If you have a quarterback, let me find the right quarterback example of who you've got to really thread the needle, and you've got to have the confidence in your own drafting and evaluations that you can then. So I'll give you an example. If I were the Miami Dolphins and the Minnesota Vikings were willing to give me, the Vikings wouldn't do this, but just follow me here, the 11th pick of the draft for Tua. And I'm like, all right, sitting there, I can draft Penix. I might be able to draft McCarthy. Maybe they love Bo Nix, which I wouldn't understand, whatever. But are we better off making sure we can keep Waddle, we can keep Tyreek, we can do all these things, rather than this offseason pay Tua like he's great when we know he has a ceiling? That, to me, is a legitimate question. Like, that's a correct. And so I would, now quarterbacks, like you mentioned Justin Herbert. Herbert, I think, is too talented to roll the dice on that. But the Chargers right now are drafting, and the way his contract works, because they've already paid him, they can't actually trade him right now. But we know how much Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy. They're sitting at 5. He coached McCarthy. In this fake world where Justin Herbert's tradable, would it be a viable thought exercise that someone like the Chargers, like, you know what, we don't want to have to cut Keenan Allen or trade Keenan Allen. We don't want to have to tear our team down, and we want to get younger through the draft. You know, what could you get for Justin Herbert from, again, I'll use New England? Would New England give you the third overall pick and their second round pick and next year's number one for Justin Herbert? The answer is yes. They almost assuredly would. And then could we draft our quarterback and Marvin Harrison and have an extra first round pick? These are legitimate conversations that nobody in NFL front offices is having, because trading away a stability at the quarterback position is so terrifying.
It's unheard of.
But if you just, right, if you owned the team and ran it and just could do whatever you wanted, it would be an interesting idea. So I knew what you were saying. You didn't phrase it exactly right, but it's a smarter idea than, like, you gave yourself credit for. All right, let's, oh, by the way, DeAndre, go. I'm told DeAndre Ayton is listening.
He's listening to the show, and he actually just sent us a picture of his room.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Photoshop is hilarious. The basketball jerseys. All right,
this is why you should watch on YouTube. This is why you should subscribe to the show. All right, next.
All right, so the Jets clearly haven't learned their lesson. So they've signed more players that are coming off of injuries. The 11 of their games this year will be coming from teams that had winning records in 2023. Another quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, isn't running for vice president. Is it time for Jets fans to be excited about this coming season, or would they just be setting themselves up for failure or disappointment?
Here's the thing that I just don't understand. I guess I do understand it. I just think it is so ludicrous that folks don't have a problem with it. So the oldest tackle signed in free agency, the oldest, is Tyron Smith. I'm looking at it on SpotRack. He's the only tackle over 32 years old that has signed in free agency, okay? The Jets also traded for another tackle, Morgan Moses, who's a good player and a healthy player. He's also 33 years old. If we then go to wide receivers, people are like, oh, Mike Williams isn't that old. The wide receivers that have been signed that are older than Mike Williams is Devontae Parker, who got $5 million max, probably $1 million guaranteed, and Mac Hollins, $1 million guaranteed, and then Mike Williams. Those are the only two wide receivers who have signed who are older than Mike Williams. Why are Tyron Smith and Mike Williams available? Because in the last 2 years, they have each missed 17 and 18 games. So a team that last year was derailed by having an old injury-prone roster signed old injury-prone players. And they're like, can't blame us if it goes wrong. So I just think it's a ludicrous way to run your team, and they're doing it all in service of the oldest player in the league coming off a torn Achilles. So I think the Jets are poorly run.
Somebody's getting fired at the end of the season.
Well, they made these moves because if they trying to save their jobs. Like, this is the old, this is not a perfect analogy, but I'll use it. And people don't do this.
Let's do it.
You have squandered half of the company's expense account. And the next day, you have a meeting where they're going to do an audit of it. And you're like, oh my God, they expect there to be $100,000 here. If they see there's 50, I'm fired. I'm just fired. Well, I guess I'm going to take the 50 that's left and put it on black on one spin of the roulette wheel. If I win, then I keep my job. If I lose, I was fired anyway. Which, for your, like, game theory of your own personal well-being, I guess makes sense. But for the company, for the people you answer to, it's like, well, wait a minute here. We can't get, like, the 50 you blew is gone, but let's not risk another 50. And so the Jets had this amazing 2022 draft. They got Sauce, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, and Breece Hall. And then last year was totally squandered because they chased the Aaron Rodgers rabbit without ever addressing the offensive line. And now maybe they're going to squander this year trying to build as if the NFL doesn't exist after this year. So I don't buy it. I don't like the hype. And I don't know what evidence people have that Aaron Rodgers is going to be great again. Last year he was injured. The year before he was mediocre all year long. So we've got to go a ways back. Like, Tom Brady has been great more recently than Aaron Rodgers has been great. That's noteworthy. All right, next.
Pretty noteworthy. All right, so rumors are 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk could be on the run. He's been linked to Pittsburgh. I think for those watching on YouTube, we may show a tweet.
Let me just add some context here. He tweeted to Mike Tomlin saying that they're saying we look like twins. Twinsky. What do you think? I see a resemblance. But here's why it's noteworthy. Ayuk had not tweeted in 11 months. So he gets linked to the Steelers by friend of the pod, Andrew Filippone, who broke that story, by the way. And then he tweets about it. So that's why there's a little smoke where there might be some fire. But go ahead.
There might be some fire where there's smoke, I guess. Yeah, so you said that's signs for changes to come in San Francisco. So question is, are the 49ers in for a big regression like you predicted last year?
I don't know that they're in for a big regression. And to be fair, last year I still had them making the playoffs. I just thought quarterback play would bite them earlier than it did. It turned out it didn't bite them till the Super Bowl, so bully for them. Here is what is true. They currently have the highest paid running back in football, the highest paid fullback in football, the highest paid tight end in football, the highest paid left tackle in football, the highest paid defensive player of any position in football, the highest paid middle linebacker in football. That's six positions. They also pay Debo three years, $70 million. When all of those things happen, it's hard to then pay Brandon Ayuk, right? And that's the beef. The beef is he wants a contract. And if the Niners believe Purdy is the real deal, they know that at some point they're going to have to pay him. He's going to go from $1 million to $50 million. So the point that I am making is, and they signed, who's the big D tackle they signed in the offseason to a big, Javon Hargrave. They gave him a big deal this past offseason. That's why, I don't want to say quietly, but they cut Eric Armstead. Because the salary cap chickens are starting to come home to roost a bit. And it's why not winning the Super Bowl last year or the year before, I don't want to say they were all in, but they were highly leveraged. And the odds that they are ever going to have more raw talent on the field than they had in last year's Super Bowl is low. And so I think Ayuk's an excellent player. But so next year, they're going to be going to war with no Eric Armstead. Don't know the status of Dre Greenlaw, which is sad and sucks. But he popped his Achilles in the final game of the year.
Yeah.
We don't know about Ayuk. Now, they will have Hufanga back because he tore his ACL early last year. And Hufanga's awesome. But that's another guy they need money for. I think Hufanga's probably in line next year to become the highest paid safety in the league. So I just think the Niners, I don't want to say they missed their opportunity, but the window is slowly closing on having this all-star team. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
So,
Go ahead.
I know, I mean, and it's they're not saying that he's going to Pittsburgh, but you weren't high on Pittsburgh when they got Russell Wilson. If they got Ayuk, how would you feel about Pittsburgh's postseason success?
It'd be great for Justin Fields. I mean, for their eventual starting quarterback, Justin Fields. The problem for Ayuk's fit in Pittsburgh with Russ is Russ doesn't throw over the middle of the field. Even when Russ was great, he didn't throw over the middle of the field. Why doesn't he throw over the middle of the field? Because he can't see it. He's too short. It's just the reality. I know people are like, that's unfair. No, it's just true that for shorter quarterbacks, seeing over the middle of the field is the hardest part to see, that intermediate middle. And that's where Ayuk, you know, Ayuk doesn't make his money on those deep routes that Russ is still great at. He makes his money over the middle of the field. And Justin Fields, we don't know where he throws because he hasn't been a consistent passer yet, but we know he can see everywhere because he's a regular quarterback size. All right, take a quick break, come back, play a game, right or wrong, what's right? With Factors, delicious, ready-to-eat meals you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/NickWright50 and use code NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NickWright50 at factormeals.com/NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor. All right, welcome back in. What's right with Nick Wright? Episode 223. Demonte, let's roll. And by the way, don't forget your questions and comments for the C block. Let's try to roll through this as quickly as possible because that was a 40-minute A block because I spent 8 minutes on DeAndre Ayton's air mattress and another 10 minutes on Super Bowl history that was not scheduled part of the rundown. Okay, go ahead.
We're playing right or wrong. First off, we start off with Zion. The Pelicans are on a roll, and Zion has reportedly lost 25 pounds in the course of the season. Right or wrong, Zion is officially here to stay.
So I think I want to tentatively say right, and I just think that with tempered expectations. When Zion came into the league, I said this guy's going to be an MVP. And you guys know how strongly I feel about how good you've got to be an MVP. I thought that's who he was going to be. And I still think, oddly, Zion's second year, which was he played 60 games that year, and keep in mind that was not an 82-game season. So he played 60 games, I think it was a 76-game season. I could be wrong. Maybe it was. It doesn't matter. He was 27 a night on 61% from the field at 20 years old. No one, not even prime Shaq, had done that.
That's that almost the numbers much, you're the, saying Giannis is putting up just earlier this
so
season.
So the by the way, you're right. So Giannis has more rebounds and assists. Giannis is having, you know, maybe the greatest high volume scoring, high efficiency percentage season ever. But that obvious Giannis's season this year obviously hadn't happened then. And so Zion did something that no one had done up to that point. And then it went sideways for him on and off the court. And now he is, listen, he's played 57 games. So he's going to play probably close to 70 games. The Pelicans are good. He's been really good. But I no longer look at him like, oh, he might be the best player in the league one day. I look at him like, oh, he could
be. Talented
as hell and a good player. Like, you know what I mean? He should be a multi-time all-star, but not an MVP candidate. And so that's kind of a bummer. But it, by the way, a year ago, even this was in question. It was, right. Is he gonna? Is his weight, is his health, the stuff he had to do with off the court, which was embarrassing. Right?
It's always like, it's always off the court stuff, like discipline.
Yeah, so when he played, he was always excellent.
Right.
But he doesn't seem quite as explosive. He's just not quite as good as he was right when he came into the league, but he's healthier and the Pelicans are good. So I'm buying that this could be the new look Zion, which is good and bad, so to speak. All right, next.
So a top receiver in the draft, Marvin Harrison Jr., didn't work out at the combine, and now he's skipped working out at his pro day. He's slated to go after the top three quarterbacks to Arizona. But it seems like he might not want to. Right or wrong, Marvin Harrison Jr. is trying to avoid Kyler.
Wrong. I don't think that's what's happening here at all. I think it's that he is correctly saying, watch the tape. I am good enough, I don't have to jump through these hoops.
Is the last thing he did was breaking that record?
I mean, the last football we saw him play was for Ohio State. And so, he hasn't done any of the stuff guys normally do, but I'm okay with that. This is the guys that can, I think Marvin's in a place where he can't really help his draft stock. And he can, now, can he hurt it? Like, I know there are Malik Nabers might go ahead of him. But I think that, first of all, I don't buy it. Second of all, he's not falling out of the top. He was never going top three because it's going to go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And he was never going past seven. So he's almost assured, he is assuredly going to be the first or second wide receiver taken. And he's almost assuredly going to be the first wide receiver taken. So he's saying, I don't have to do this. So I'm fine with it. All right, next.
All right, according to Saquon, after his move to the Eagles, his daughter said, does that mean we're going to win now? Right or wrong, Saquon's daughter knows ball. Right or wrong, Saquon's daughter said that.
I believe she said it. I'll go ahead and say she knows ball. I don't think the Eagles are going to be great, but they're going to be better than the Giants were. So yeah, you know what I mean. I don't want to talk about Saquon's daughter. I should have taken this one out of the show.
He put her in a weird spot.
I feel badly about it.
He put his daughter in a weird spot.
Yeah. All right. Next.
The NFL is considering changes to the hip drop tackling, kickoff rules, and potentially allowing for replay reviews of whether a game clock expired before the snap. But why? Right or wrong, constant rule changes are good for sports.
In theory, they're good for sports. In practicality, they're not. We can't spend all football season every year being like, the refs aren't any good. And then in the offseason be like, add more things to their plate. Like, it just doesn't make sense. We go through the same thing every time.
Never thought of it like that.
Where it's like, the refs are not competent. Make their job harder. And so, in a perfect world, I understand a lot of these wanted adjustments. In the world in which we live, it doesn't make sense. Next.
All right, you said Tuesday that you're too busy sending Chiefs GM Brett Veach mock drafts to build a bracket. Sounds like a straight-up Nick Wright fan fiction. The producers and I have some questions. Right or wrong, Veach has replied.
Okay, so texts between Brett Veach and I are personal. What I will tell you is this. Brett Veach texted Kevin Clark, great writer, used to be for The Ringer, now he does podcasts for Omaha. He's on Around the Horn. You guys know Kevin Clark. Because Kevin and I were at this, the reason we didn't have a podcast last Thursday was because I was speaking at this media conference. Kevin was there. So Kevin and I took a picture together, and he texted it to Veach. And do you know what Veach replied? I'll send you the screenshot, Demonte. Veach replied, two of my guys, tell Nick to send me his latest mock. That's what he sent. So take that for what you will. If you guys are interested in my latest mock draft, when I open up my downloaded files, this says PFF mock results, parentheses, 28, end parentheses. So this is my 28th that I've done, but this is where it landed. With the first round pick, the Chiefs took Ladd McConkey. We then traded L'Jarius Sneed for the 43rd overall pick to Atlanta. With that draft pick, we took Kamari Lassiter, the cornerback. With the final pick of the second round, we took Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas. We then made another trade. We traded down from 81. I'm sorry, we traded up from 95, packaging the 159th pick to get to pick 81 to target Texas defensive tackle Tavondre Sweat. We then took another corner, Cam Hart, in the fourth round. With our fifth round pick, took a value position, Zach Zenter, the guard from Michigan, who got hurt in his final collegiate game, probably going to have to miss the year, but that's a guy that should be a day two pick that's going to fall because of the injury. The Chiefs have Trey Smith and Joe Tooney at the guard positions for next year, but Joe Tooney maybe could be gone in a year, so you slide Zach Zenter into there. Then we traded back. This is how sick I've gotten on these mock drafts. I traded pick 148. And the seventh round pick. I traded with the Raiders, and one of the things I got back was a future sixth round pick. But the mock drafts, there's no future drafts. It's not like I'm actually acquiring that capital to do anything with it. It just felt like good value. And after those trades, I ended up drafting Jalen Green, the edge rusher from James Madison. Now, that's a small college player, but he had like 18 sacks last year. I like the upside. And with the final pick of the draft, I took the good-looking quarterback from Notre Dame, Sam Hartman. Felt like he's a guy that after a couple years under Andy, being in the quarterback room with Patrick Mahomes, could be a guy that shows enough in preseason that we can then flip him for maybe like a fourth-round pick. Go ahead and clip this off for social media, my mock draft here, and I'll just share it to... You know what? This is interesting. I don't know if I want to share it to the whole world because that could give those other GMs an edge. Let's just clip this off on social media and send it to me so I can distribute it as we want. That was mock draft 28. Let me just... Demonte, pick a random number between 15 and 28.
27.
That's boring, but okay, 27. 27. Let me pull up mock draft 27. Oh my goodness, that was the one where I had four trade downs. That's too many. I ended up drafting 13 players and had four trade downs. I'm going to have to pick one where I didn't do trade. It's just so hard when there's value out there. You want it, you know what I mean? You want to make 21. These trades. So let me find one where you said 21?
21.
All right, perfect. With the first round. Oh, this one I got Ladd McConkey again. Oh, and in this one, Xavier Worthy slid all the way to the third round. Oh, my goodness gracious. I also drafted Zach Zenter again. I must really like Zach Zenter. Okay, we can move on. I don't know where we're at in the show. I know I said we were going to go faster, but we can move on. Go ahead.
I got
to
next...
read this one.
Yeah.
Last week, I asked Demonte to watch Barbie and Oppenheimer during his day off for the old Barbenheimer. Oh, that's a great... You should make this your profile picture, Demonte.
That's really good, Daniel. I didn't know that was what you were going
to
do.
Did you do this, Demonte?
I did. I watched Oppenheimer. I watched Barbie. I enjoyed Oppenheimer. I got to go back and rewatch it. Get Oppenheimer's the bad guy for creating the bomb. Yeah, and then like they do past with like regular color. And they do future stuff with like black and white. It's like, but I really enjoyed the movie. And honestly, taught me a little bit more about Hiroshima than I already knew. I did not do too much digging in that. But yeah, Barbie. I gotta say, man, I was not entertained at all. And this is not just like a boy thing. Like it was just like, I don't. That's not the. It was cool. It was a nice movie.
No, that's fine. You don't want to step on any toes here. You just felt like you didn't like it. I get it.
Yeah, it just wasn't for me. So I
understood the message of Barbie, and I thought it was a smart one. What I found so fascinating about Barbie was the way they, smartly created the Barbie universe. Because when I heard they were making a Barbie movie, I'm like, how are they going to do it? But the fact they had all the different types of Barbies and all that, I thought it was actually a well thought out movie. But we don't have to.
No, definitely well done. I'm not saying the movie sucks. It's just not for me. Fair. Loved Oppenheimer. It was very cool.
Okay. And awesome.
Very loud.
All right, quick break. Yeah, very loud. It was great. Quick break, right back. Answer some of your questions. I talk about James Harden closing out on Kawhi. What's right?
Yes.
All right, welcome back in. What's right with Nick Wright? DeMonte, before we get to the listener questions, go ahead and let's talk Harden Kawhi real quick.
All right, Travis Kelce. No, I'm joking. You teased at the top of the show. James Harden played defense on for the first time ever in his career against Kawhi Leonard. Too bad it was against his own teammate. Obviously, what was going on there? Please explain this
serious.
To me.
He's just not serious, man. DeMonte, do you know when this happened in the game?
It was third quarter, right? Third quarter, they were up. It was 80-61 or something like that.
Yeah, they were up. It was either 80-61 or 81-61. They were either up 19 or 21 points with 20 minutes left in this game. You can't do that. You just can't do it. I understand you're playing the Blazers. You feel like you're going to win. You're dominating them. I get it. This is outrageous. I mean, it's just, I don't want to be, someone that makes a big deal out of minor things, but this is not a minor thing to me. And this is, and I love the NBA, but this is the type of thing that if it happened in another sport, people would be losing their minds. Like, let's say that go ahead.
In football, it'd be tackling your running back?
Acting like you're going to. Like making your running back like try to juke you because you're up 24 in the third quarter. Like, this is, it's just,
if anybody in the league is going to do that, I was saying it's James Harden. Like, that's
the other problem.
So on brand.
Like, you haven't earned the right to be this silly. I'm sorry you haven't. You just haven't. And so I hate it. I legitimately hate it. All right, let's get to some of the listener questions.
Do you think that will be explained? Like, will he have to speak
Harden
for himself
said
on
he
that?
Was like, it was good for team vibes. That's what he said. Harden answered, and he was like, yeah, he was like, I'm just trying to keep it loose and happy and good for team vibes.
All right, well, Gabe Felter.
So that's what it is.
Gabe Felter said, hey, Nick, I believe the Chiefs could sit at 32 and pick what's best for them in a tackle or wide receiver. Should the Chiefs be aggressive to unload Snead while they could get something for him, unlike T. Higgins?
Well, listen, the Chiefs have been ready to trade Snead. But the problem is that the Chiefs had worked out the Snead compensation as far as what they would get in return for him with another team. But in order for that team to agree to the trade, Snead then has to agree to a long-term contract with them. And Snead evidently wants $23 million a year. And no team's been willing to pay it. And so I think teams are willing to pay 20, but not 23. And so the hang-up, so the Chiefs clearly are prepared to trade Snead, but also because they've been so judicious in free agency, they don't have to trade him, and they can carry the $19 million cap hit this year. Because they signed Chris, and because they signed Hollywood, they can sit there at 32, and if a D lineman, corner, wide receiver, or tackle they love is sitting there, they can draft any of those spots. It's not like, oh my God, we have to get this position. We have this player ranked as the 49th best player in the draft, but he's the best left of that position, so I have to take him at 32. It also allows them to trade down if they want to, if they have a bunch of guys they still like, so they can, as some would say, let the draft come to them rather than rush it. All right, go ahead.
Salvador Finelli asks, question for Devontae, how are you enjoying L.A. compared to New York? Traffic is traffic, and I hear a lot of talks of people comparing New York traffic to Los Angeles traffic, and Los Angeles traffic is in a league of its own, in my opinion. I like driving everywhere that I go, though. I don't really miss walking. I'm really enjoying it. The weather is obviously super dope. The people are interesting. There's a time that I hate it when people like the best example I could think of is when I got in that car accident like two and a half years ago. The guy like hit me from the side and they got out and I had a green light and they were speeding. And they got out and they're like, what the F, bro? Like, what's, and I'm just like, dude, do you think that I wanted to get in a car accident with you? Like, what is the point in getting out?
Was
and,
that
like,
in New York ask, or LA?
That was in Kansas. It was in Kansas City. I haven't gotten an accident in New York. Thank God. So it's just like.
That would have been in my car. I was going to say, you might have just snitched on yourself there.
No.
I was like, I was trying to play pretend you know. Like, what the hell are we talking about? What car accident? 2.5 years ago. Okay, that was Kansas City. That makes more sense. All right, go ahead.
I just think some of the people are hoity in the LA area. Like, I was pulling out, and it was just like one of those areas where, in order to get in, I have to kind of pull out of where I'm at. And a civilian, I'm on the sidewalk, I get that. A civilian walks past my car and literally stops, turns around, bends over, and looks inside of my car. And I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to go. Like, what are you, I'm sorry that I'm right here. You were able to walk around. I'm loving it. It's cool. Haven't been doing too much lately with the Achilles, but excited to get back out there.
Okay, but, good. Caleb asks, would I ever consider making a top 50 quarterback list? I got it. Like the NBA top 50 list. That's an interesting project. Top 50 quarterback. Because top 50 NFL players is so hard. Because, like, how do you cross-pollinate positions, offense, defense? Top 50 quarterbacks could be fun. And then UCO says, shout out to Demonze. You're improving your game. Real progress being made as a host compared to a year ago. More focus, more knowledge, more good takes. Keep it up. One love. I totally agree with that. I actually had somebody ask me the other day if this is what you want to do professionally. They're like, that's awesome. Pod. Like, is this what Demonze wants to do? And I told him, I was like, I don't think so. I was like, this has always kind of been a side gig. But the fact that somebody asked that, I think speaks to your progression over the year and a half.
No, I appreciate that, OCO.
That's super nice, you guys. Today was a really fun show. Good job, everybody. Good. Thanks to our tech team for getting everything set up. I got to go. I got a very busy day. I'm getting a haircut for the wedding that is the pre-wedding haircut, meaning I'm getting a haircut today just to set up the haircut that I evidently have to get right before the wedding. Right. I don't understand it either, to be honest with you. I just got a busy day. Talk to you guys later. What's right? Hey, it's Nick Wright. Thank you so much for watching. Please do us a favor. Click subscribe. It helps my ego. And Demonze's got a financial bonus writing on a number of YouTube subscribers, so help him out. And also, click the bell. I don't know what the bell does, but they tell me to tell you to click the bell. And your audio listeners, people that have commutes, drives, whatever it is, subscribe to the podcast as well, wherever you get the podcast. Same show, just in your ears instead of through your eyes. All that. Check it out. Appreciate y'all.